Good evening.
Good evening.
So happy to have all of you here. And again, we have to remember why we are here. We are here to worship our gracious God, God the Father, who planned all our salvation, God the Son, who paid for our salvation in full, and God the Holy Spirit, who brings this wonderful news of salvation through word and sacrament, and says, see, this is yours too. You are fully forgiven. You are a child of God. You are a heavenly citizen still stuck in this world. You can see that our gracious God was very committed to us. May his word make us committed disciples back to him. Today we begin our worship with our opening hymn, which is hymn 711. Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done, and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared joys beyond understanding for those who love you. Pour into our hearts such love for you that, loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our first reading for today is recorded here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. And Elisha commits himself completely to the work to which the Lord had called him, leaving family and wealth behind him. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord. We continue with the Psalm of the Day. The second reading for today is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 21 through 30. And Christ had shown grace to Paul. That grace moved Paul to be committed to Christ. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Please stand for the gospel acclamation. Today is recorded in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through verse 62, and Jesus teaches that following him means leaving this world behind. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God." The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, which is hymn number 736. grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. Amen. Our text for consideration today is taken from 1 Kings chapter 19, where we again read verses 19 through 21. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I probably can guarantee that all the parents that are here today could demonstrate how committed they have been to their children and how committed they still are to their children. I think every parent here realizes what it takes to raise a child. Right? We give them so much security. We give them psychological security. We give them emotional security. You name it, we give them that security, and we also give them many other things, right? We give them house and home, food and clothing, a lot of food and a lot of different types of clothing. We give them security like health insurance. We also give them car insurance, and we also give them money for the car on occasion. But it's kind of nice when they say thank you later on in life, through their thoughts and through their actions. You've been committed to us, parents, and here's just a little token of my appreciation back to you. Now, I have three children, and I'll tell you the absolute truth. The most thoughtful one, the one that probably is committed to us the most, to no surprise, is our daughter. She's very thoughtful. Like a few years back, she drew a picture for us for Christmas of our house as it looks like during Christmas. Just a beautiful thing, but it took a lot of time. It took a lot of her talent. It took a lot of her treasure, and she gave it to us. And then around 2 years ago, she painted for us a picture of our treehouse. That's what we call our place up north. And she captured a lot of different things in there. It wasn't just a treehouse, but on the railing, she also put not a cup of coffee, but she put a brandy old fashioned right there. I'm going, now that really speaks to my heart. That almost made me cry when I saw something like that. But then this last year, we actually got from her a drawing of our boat from the perspective of sitting in the front, looking back on the boat. And she had every detail in it, even the American flag up on the light pole. She's thoughtful. Like, for example, she bought me a spoon and says, Dad's ice cream spoon. I thought maybe they should have made it a little bit smaller because she knows she's also caring about me. You should really lose some weight, Dad. And then she's also given me a comb. I don't really need a comb that much, but I do. And when the ladies of the household go, and sometimes I don't have a comb, I'm not a very happy person. So she bought me one of this. It's like a switch comb. I can carry around with me everywhere I go. And then she gave me something like this because she gets me, because she knows that I once did exercise, but she knows I like to eat a lot more now. And she gave me a shirt like this, and it says this. I'll read it first. It says exercise, and then it goes exercise, and X our size, eggs our sides for bacon. So she gets that sense of humor. So again, if I could talk a little bit more about Taylor, this is kind of maybe the list of the things that she has done for us, and I could go on and on and on, you know, but I won't. I want to see what my two sons have done for me and given back to me this last couple, maybe 2 or 3 years. Okay, right here. That's about it. I call them too. They're going, no, you're good, Dad. A Cabela's card for $50 that Mom had to buy. But I understand that he's just going into college. Okay, got that. And then Tristan, who is doing quite well for himself right now, almost 26. And I think a few years back, he actually made a coupon book, you know, like we did in kindergarten. Good for one back rub. you know, good to load up the dishwasher. You know, so again, I'm very thankful for my daughter. I'm very thankful for my sons too. But again, my daughter wins when it comes to showing her thankfulness to what we have done for her. So now I'm just curious, I look at all of you here today. We're all different ages. I'm 50. We have those that are over 70. We have some of those that are younger than me too. But we're all in the same category. We are children of God. How do we thank God? Are we like one of these children? Or are we like one of these children? You know, when you think of all the time that God has given you, have you thanked Him with your time? Are you committed to Him with your time? When you look at things like your thoughts, do you think about Him all the time? Or how about your treasure? Do you think about Him and give a lot of things that He's already given back, given to you back to Him? Short list or long list? How about your talents? I know that all of you have a lot of different talents. Have you used your talents to extend God's kingdom? If so, would you be the long list or the short list? Are you committed to the Lord? I mean fully committed to the Lord. You know, our Lord gave up everything for us. Would you give up everything for Him? Because that's what He's calling Him for in today's gospel lesson. Now, maybe this, where do you spend more time? Do you look over your portfolio that you have here? Or the portfolio He's given you that will last forever? You know, maybe some of us have had a plaque like this, you know, in our house, and it goes, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," right? But maybe you didn't read the small print, but this is what happens a lot of times. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord once a week for an hour, and only if there are no birthdays to go to, no relatives in town, no big sporting events to watch, no three-day weekends to camp out on, if it isn't over 80 degrees, if my plants have been watered, the lawn has been mowed, if it isn't raining, if it isn't snowing, if it isn't Mother's Day, Father's Day, St. Patrick's Day." I think you get the point. Today, though, we'll see the power of God's Word, how He took ordinary individuals and made them His committed disciples / followers. We'll hear about Elisha today, we'll hear about the Apostle Paul, and also about all the other disciples. So again, we'll just get into that first account, right, with the Elisha. I'll go through it the third time today so that we all remember, and I'm going to just add a few things. So it says this here. "So Elijah went from there, from the place where God encouraged him, and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair." So what does that tell us? Elisha is very, very wealthy. He didn't just have one yoke of oxen. He had 12 yoke of oxen. So he is very wealthy. "Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him." And again, what kind of cloak? I wish we'd have one of these cloaks, because I'd throw it around a lot of you and say, "Okay, this is what you're going to do." And you'd say, "Yes, that's what I'm going to do." I don't know where to get a cloak like this, but I'm sure Pastor Tiefel probably does. "Elisha then left his ox and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come with you.' 'Go back,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?' So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate." So again, he wasn't playing it safe. "Okay, I'll go with you for a little bit. Okay, and then if I don't like it, I'm going to kind of come back to this life." He slaughters his oxen and he burns his plowing equipment. He is committed to follow Elijah. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. Elisha was all in. Again, my question is, are you all in? How about the Apostle Paul, right? I think he was all in for the Lord once he heard what God's grace had done for him. And we kind of go through that list, all the things that the Apostle Paul went through. And he didn't throw the towel in. I think we'd have thrown the towel in a lot, very shortly after. But it goes on like this, and he says this, I have been in prison more frequently. Are you that committed to the Lord that if it even calls for you to go to prison? Been flogged more severely and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Again, it usually took 40 lashes to kill someone. And 5 times he had the 40 lashes minus one brought to the point of death. Would you have thrown the towel in then? The Apostle Paul didn't. He goes on to say this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Have you ever been beaten with a rod because of your faith in Christ? 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. You know, there's another passage that the Apostle Paul said. He poured himself out like a drink offering to the Lord. After he saw what the Lord did for him, he also poured himself out like a drink offering. Do we pour ourselves out with everything we do? We do it to the Lord and for the Lord. Yes, the Apostle Paul was all in. Are you all in? And then we hear about the apostles, the disciples, right? I know I always show you up with the shields that are on top of the ceiling and everything, right? We have, St. Peter, or Peter, he was all in for the Lord. He was crucified upside down. Over there, we have John. He was exiled on the island of Patmos, but there's a chalice there, again, with a snake in it, because someone tried to poison him, it didn't work. And then even back there, there's, Thomas. We know Doubting Thomas, it's the spear and the carpenter's square. Again, he built a lot of congregations out in India, but then he finally died with a spear, that's what it says, that went through him. They were all in for the Lord. Are you? That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want this, give me 20%. He wants us all in to be fully devoted to him at all times. I'll tell you that this last week, I'd say for a couple of days, I was moping around, somewhat depressed, because of these texts. Because they cut to my heart, and hopefully they're cutting to your heart, because when I look at my life and my actions of my life, I see that many times, many, many times, that I'm not all in for the Lord. I've been keeping more of my eyes fixed on the temporal things of this life and forgetting what is yet to come there in heaven. He said, keep your eyes fixed on there. Seek first his kingdom and all these other things will be given to you as well. Yes, yes, I know, but I think I know a little bit better. Marcus, have you been all in for the Lord? No. Have you been all in for the Lord? I don't think you need any more convincing. You two would have to say no. So last week I felt like I lost my identity there for a bit. Like, well, who am I then? Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, yes. But am I a follower like Jesus as he wants me to be a follower of his? Yes, I look like a really great follower of Jesus, according to our society that surrounds me, but according to what God's word says, I don't think so. Lost my identity. I was on trial for being a committed disciple of the Lord. Would there be enough evidence to convict me? Probably not. Have you ever lost your wallet? I think we all have. What a pain, right? Day and night, you're thinking about where did I leave my wallet? Because what's in that wallet? So many different things, right? Your credit cards, your identification, your driver's license. And you look up and down here, there, every cushion. You go into the truck, you go into the car, and then you start blaming other people. Well, did you take it? I know I had it right here. It's not there. And so on and so forth. And you lose your identity, right? And maybe that's how you feel right now. You feel like you've lost your identity. Yes, I too am not a committed follower of Jesus. And maybe some of you are saying, well, you know, I'm not a committed follower of Jesus. I'm going to look for my identity over here and there. You're not going to find it. And maybe you're saying, you know what, maybe next week I'm going to maybe just get a new identification card and then I'll be fine. I'll be a Christian. No. But I'm here to tell you that I have found your identity, your true identity. That's right here in God's Word. Our salvation does not depend on how committed we have been to the Lord. It depends on His commitment to us. And that's why the gospel lesson goes on to say this. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely, that means determined, unwavering manner, set out for Jerusalem. Why was He going to Jerusalem? Because He was committed to us. To that last drop of blood, to that last drop of oxygen that went through His lungs. And He still is committed to us. I think sometimes we lose our identification. And then even the Apostle Paul lost his identity in Christ too, because he knew that his sinful nature was against him. And I'm going to just read this to you from Romans chapter 7. And it says this, and tell me if this doesn't sound like all of us. This is what the Apostle Paul says. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. You can hear that frustration, can't you? Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, I want to be completely committed to Christ, evil is right there with me. Where am I intervening? I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Again, you were in that prison just a few minutes ago when you started looking, am I committed? Christian, have I done this for the Lord? And his assessment of himself was this. This is my assessment of myself this last week. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, we lost our identity, but we found our identity because the Lord found it again for us in His Word. Jesus says in John chapter 10, He says, my sheep listen to my voice. Again, we hear a lot of voices out there. The world's voice will condemn us. Satan's voice will condemn us. Our own heart's voice will condemn us. But there's only one voice that has any say in the matter, and that's the voice of Jesus. He says this to you. Picture Him saying these words to you as He locks His eyes with your eyes. He says, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Like Martin Luther, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You became what you were not to make me what I was not. He was fully committed to us. And He still is committed to us. He's once again brought you into the realm of His grace. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. As we look at how committed he was to us, let us be committed to him in everything. The important prepositional phrase right there, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, here it comes, in view of God's mercy. You don't have to prove to me how committed you are. Just sit there for this whole week and continue to view God's mercy and how committed he was to you and how committed he still is with you. Just keep watching. And you know what? I think you're going to go, yeah, he deserves my time. He deserves my talent. He deserves my treasure. You know, it would have been nice to maybe just have a cloak and throw a cloak like Elijah did over Elisha, and then, yes, I'll follow you. But I have something better than a cloak. I have his robe that has covered you. Remember when we were baptized? Those who have been baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. Let us remain committed to him. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we collect today's offering. And again, there's many different ways that we can collect the offering. You can give in worship, like tonight, or visit emmanuelnl.org, or text that right there on page 12, or mail your gift in. We continue then with our next hymn, which is hymn 695, as we collect the offering.
Thank you.
And let us pray. Father, for giving us life and breath, talent and energy, we thank you. For income and nourishment, for honest work and opportunities to be useful, we look gratefully to you as our provider. For safety in our travels, we rejoice in the protection your angels give. Lord Jesus, through you, we have the full rights of children of God. What love the Father has lavished on us through our relationship with you. We praise you for saving us and giving your life as a ransom for our sin. May our spirits revive in the rest and peace of your forgiveness. And Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, restore to us the joy of your salvation. Cause a good seed of the word to produce sturdy faith and godly attitudes and behavior in each believer. And Heavenly Father, we join with members of your church in giving you thanks as they celebrate wedding anniversaries this week. Gary and Luann Knuth celebrating 37 years of marriage. Joe and Jane Dexter celebrating 45 years of marriage. Dan and LaVonna Rice and Bob and Becky Beck celebrating both 50 years of marriage. And Marlon and Shirley Brown celebrating 60 years of marriage. You have been these couples' source of strength and spring of faithfulness. As they rely on you for every good thing, we ask that you continue to go with them as their God and Lord, preserving their faith and love by your powerful word. And Lord, our Heavenly Father, life is a precious gift from you, especially the life we have in your Son, our Savior. We thank you for the way you have worked to protect life in our country. We humbly ask you to use us as instruments of kindness, love, and mercy in the days to come, so that many might know abundant life in Jesus. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Open our eyes to see the spiritual dangers facing those who do not yet trust you as Savior and Lord. Move us to share with them the hope of unending life we have in you. Go with us into our world and support us in all we do. To your glory, amen. Please stand. And we close with our closing prayer. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, which is hymn number 927.
Thank you.
Good evening. So happy to have all of you here. All the announcements are all ready for you in tonight's insert. I guess I'd just like to also show you the other insert, the Zoomerang that's coming. It's our Vacation Bible School, and that's going to be on July 25th through the 29th. So already start inviting your family, your children, your family, friends, and neighbors for this event. So again, please keep this in your prayers. Well, a lot of people have asked me, have you heard anything about TIFL or what's he going to do? I haven't heard anything yet, so continue to keep the TIFL family in all of your prayers as they continue to deliberate his call to Martin Luther College. You take care. God bless all of you. Have a great rest of the week.